Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Maria Garcia. Free the tea. On the heels of a 6.3% fare increase proposed by the MBTA, that's what Boston City Councilor Michelle Wu said she wants in a Boston Globe op-ed. Wu is arguing to forget those hikes altogether and make the tea free for all riders. Joining me now is Michelle Wu, Boston City Councilor at Large. Councilor, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And here with me in the studio is Carolyn Ryan, Senior Vice President of Policy and Research at Greater Boston Chamber of Commerce. Carolyn, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And should the tea be free, how would the state make up for lost revenue from fares? Is this the way to meet carbon emissions goals, help lower-income communities, and ease congestions on the road? Or does it go too far? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Send us a tweet at Radio Boston as well. All right. Councillor Wu, I want to start with you. So your proposal comes right on the heels of an MBTA proposal for a 6.3 fare increase. Lay it out for me generally here. Why should we have a free tea system, especially when the MBTA says we can't afford it?
Everyone should have the right to basic mobility. We're talking about the ability for people to access opportunities that are available in our city at a time when we are facing the very real risks of climate change and traffic that is snarling all across the Commonwealth. Massachusetts has, over the history of our state and our Commonwealth, been a leader when it comes to making big investments in our shared prosperity and our shared Commonwealth. We started the first public school, the first public library, the first public park, and each of these represented the very ambitious statement that everyone should have the right to access education or open space or our shared knowledge. And each time it resulted in tremendous jumps in our productivity, in our quality of life. This would be the same. Transportation is a tremendous barrier for people, and we should be doing everything we can to encourage people to use public transit, make and remove every possible financial barrier.
Councillor, so you're saying forget the hikes. Let's go after sustainable revenue sources so we can improve service levels, so we can electrify trains, speed up buses. But what are those sustainable revenue sources you're thinking of to make this happen? How do we finance this?
So if you look at the T's current budget, there are a couple different places that, a couple points to make. First is that the T is carrying a tremendous amount of debt, likely more debt than any other major city's system. And there have been attempts to address this legislatively in the past. So a lot of the T's budget is paying for that debt service. The second is that right now, fares from riders of our bus and subway system only make up a little over 20% of the total revenues from that system. So we're not talking about a sweeping change of overhauling the entire financial structure. It's about addressing a gap that represents a significant barrier to residents. At the same time, we've been having conversations about how to better reflect the cost of people's transportation options, whether it is through congestion pricing or looking at potentially increasing fees on Uber and Lyft, which are undeniably causing more traffic across the city, or other ways that we're bringing in sustainable revenues through our tax structure. This would be an investment, just like we invest currently in public education, in our library system, and other benefits that accrue to everyone. So it's not just about T riders, even drivers, anyone who uses our roads or breathes our air benefits when more people get off the roads and get onto the T.
Carolyn, you're in the studio with me. You're shaking your head. Tell me why.
Well, I think there's the common goal of getting more people on the T. I believe that is absolutely of most importance. I don't think the funding stream is quite as simple as just shifting the debt to the state and then making up 20% of revenues. So one thing is, if you shift the debt to the state, it now becomes something that's paid for by the state. So should somebody in Springfield be paying for my T pass? You know, that's going to be a politically challenging proposition. I think the other part of this is, Councillor Wu mentioned that it's 20% of revenues. If you include commuter rail, you're talking in the ballpark of $650 million a year. And I don't know how you wouldn't include commuter rail on this proposal, again, especially if you're this is a cost that's spread out among residents of Massachusetts. So I think the funding is a real problem.
I want to go back to the funding in just a bit, but I have one question for you, Carolyn. So we are sort of in the midst of a national debate over income and inequality, right? And over how much wealthy people and corporations should pay in taxes. In that context, what would you say to the idea that it might be fair to ask companies to contribute directly to keep a social service like the MBTA running and affordable because it's a public good that makes the region work for everyone, including businesses? And we are seeing this in other places that have done this sort of corporate finance model. We're seeing it in like Missoula, Montana, which, you know, much different than Boston. But nonetheless, it is this model is out there.
Sure. There's a couple of things there. One of them is you noted the income inequality. And I think if we're talking about a targeted fare system, that's a different conversation. The T already has some free and reduced fare options in place. So if we want to think about expanding mobility options and looking at those, that's a different conversation. And the cost of that is likely far less. The other side of it is, sure, businesses do benefit. And I think businesses willing to contribute to improving our public transit system, but we have to be careful about asking them alone to shoulder it because people are invested in a system when they're paying for fares. They care about the quality of service. They care about having that world-class transit system. Sometimes when things are free, they don't care quite as much about service or get as agitated about service, or even sometimes the service provider attitude could be, well, it's free. What level of service are you expecting? So I think that's a risk. It may or may not pan out. But sorry, go ahead.
Counselor, what do you say to that risk that if this is free, it devalues the service and then people's expectation for the MBTA goes down and maybe service goes down?
Last summer, my office spent several months reaching out to high school age kids across the city, asking them about their transportation experiences. We were launching what we call the Boston Youth Transportation Project. And in almost 300 conversations, even with the students already using the reduced fare options that Carolyn talked about, or having access to a free pass during the school year, transportation is a tremendous barrier for all of our youth across the city. We heard over and over again that it is actively, even with these small accommodations, it is preventing our youth from growing into the leaders and reaching their full potential that we need them to be as the folks who will look up to their leadership very soon. They're not able to get to internships, to educational opportunities, to jobs. And so the system as it stands now is not serving the needs of residents, is not serving the needs of our future economy in Massachusetts. Something has to change. And if we are setting a goal of free public transportation and holding up that right to mobility, I think we have a different set of policy conversations than we do if we just focus on costs and whether a 6% fare increase is acceptable or should it be 3% or 9%. It is way past time for us to be talking about bold changes. And what might be politically challenging now shouldn't define where the vision that we should be searching for, because whether or not the elected leadership reflects the aspiration that people need access to affordable and ideally free transportation, the public is ready for it. People are ready for it and people need it. And at some point or another, that political reality will catch up to us, whether it's with the folks currently in office or others who will replace them.
Okay, I want to make sure we get to our phone lines. Josh from Plymouth is on the line. Josh, you're on. What's your question or your comment?
Hi, thank you for having me. I just wanted to comment in general on this situation, more from, I guess, an outlying ethical perspective. And that is that I find it incredible that an argument of free transportation, when I think Ms. Wu and anybody who supports these types of things knows clearly it's not free. It'll be on the back of taxpayers, and more importantly, taxpayers who do not ride or use the T or the MBTA. So I would ask her if we should have free T access. I go to Martha's Vineyard often for vacation. Should I have free steamship authority passage to the island? Because I'm economically challenged to get there for my vacation.
Councilwoman Wu, I'll let you answer that.
Sure. Well, thank you so much, Josh, for caring enough to call in and your comments. I want to push back a little bit about the notion that the idea of fair free transit, because as Josh says, certainly there are costs, and certainly this is a conversation about who should bear those costs and how to relieve some of the burden on the people who can least afford it. We are not just talking about accruing benefit to T riders. Every person that chooses to not drive on our roads and instead find a way to ride the T is another car freeing up traffic, which has gotten worse and worse every single month in the greater Boston area and across the state. It's less emissions in the air that is important, not just for climate change, as we heard in the last segment, but for the air that people are breathing. I mean, the real concentrations of asthma and other diseases that are coming from pollution, it is in every single plan that the city, the state, the country, even the United Nations has put out that increasing public transit ridership is a benefit to everyone, and it's a necessary baseline for us to be able to get close to what we need to do for our climate. So this is about helping everyone, including drivers, and especially people who are sort of being forced to drive right now, who would rather take the T if it were affordable.
All right. And we want to remind you, if you have a comment or a question, should the T be free? How would the state make up for lost revenue from fares? Is this a way to meet carbon emissions goals, help lower income communities, ease congestion on the roads? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And let's go to Paul from Townsend on the line. Paul, you're on. What's your comment or your question?
Hi, thank you. I guess my observation was, I believe the T is and should be a public service, but I live far outside of Boston, so I don't use it every day, but I drive, and I pay a tax to maintain the roads when I drive. And so there's a value associated with my choices, and it's monetary. I don't think that free is really necessary, but we can certainly drive the rates way down so that they fit well within the budgets of even the most economically disadvantaged, because people, I believe, want to pay for what they value, and the T is something that we value. I guess that's my observation. I don't know how that fits in. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Carolyn, what are your thoughts on that? You were saying that you're scared, or that you're concerned, I should say, that people would devalue the T if there would be no paywall for riders.
Yeah, I think that's a real risk. The T is a crucial public service. And I will say, I think we all have agreement in the importance of the T to Boston and even the state of Massachusetts. We all know it's important for so many different reasons. One of the things as far as whether reducing fares to free will drive ridership, there are some studies that say that people who have the choice of whether or not they're going to ride the T or public transit tend to be motivated by quality of service and reliability more than they are by price. Mm. So we might also be not necessarily be attracting the riders that we want. And we see that play out every day when people pay a few extra dollars to take an Uber when they could take the T for a cheaper price. So again, I think keeping it as a service that people are invested in and pay for. And again, the last caller, I think, said it right. We value it. I'm happy to pay my T fare every month to get myself to work.
Hmm. Councilwoman, I have one question for you. Governor Baker made the argument that having fares pay for 40% of cost for the MBTA is important because the rest is paid for by taxes, including taxes from people who don't take public transit. Our first caller is somebody who says he doesn't use the T and doesn't want to pay more taxes for a service that he doesn't use. Would it be fair to ask those taxpayers, I should say, for more?
So I do want to make a note, as Paul was making the very insightful observation that he pays taxes to maintain the roads. Those taxes are coming from us across the board, whether or not people are driving our roads, the maintenance of them, the plowing when it snows, the resurfacing, that is coming from everyone, including folks who may not own a car. And as Carolyn was saying, you know, some people are choosing to, in fact, we've seen ridership go down on most of the subway lines as people are faced with different choices and reliability is an issue. And so folks, some people are able to choose to use Uber or Lyft rather than taking the T for cheaper, but not everyone has a choice. And we're talking about unlocking the potential for our full full workforce to have access to the opportunities and the jobs that are available. 40% of costs is a tremendous amount. And if these fare hikes go through as proposed, the T will have increased fares over 40% since 2012. That is way more than the gas tax, for example, has increased by. Cities and towns are also putting in an assessment as they're being served by the T, Boston paying almost $86 million each year to make sure that to contribute to the T's budget as well. So the budget comes from a bunch of different sources, but fundamentally it is a public service, and it is our choice as political leaders, as community leaders, who will be bearing the burden of paying for that. I'm just saying we need to remember that not everybody has a choice, and some people will be riding it no matter what. And if we have fare-free transit as a goal, then we talk about intermediate steps, like how do we make it free for students and seniors? How do we talk about fare capping or bus lines where the majority of residents are low income? There are things we can do in the meantime if that is the ultimate goal, instead of just balancing numbers in a spreadsheet.
All right, let's go to Carrie from Somerville. Carrie, you're on the line. What's your comment?
Thanks so much for taking my call. This conversation immediately brought to mind the fact that I live right near Porter Square with my partner, Daniel, and he has to commute out to Brandeis every day. So there's literally commuter rail service, you know, from our doorstep to the doorstep of Brandeis, and yet we did the calculations, and it's more affordable for him to drive. And this is despite the fact that, you know, it takes often over an hour each way during rush hour. And it's heartbreaking because I'm a huge believer in public transportation. I want to see people using it. And in the case of, you know, our situation, it's actually more affordable to drive. And I just think that's really unfortunate.
So Carrie, if you did not have to pay for the commuter rail, would you choose it instead of driving, even if it would take more time?
It actually doesn't take more time. It's like a 12-minute ride to Waltham. But even if it did take more time, absolutely. I think, you know, carbon emissions are a huge concern for me. You know, every time we get in the car, it just doesn't feel right.
Thank you so much. And that was Carrie from Somerville. So Carolyn, and I've heard this from other people saying, you know, I take an Uber or an Uber pool or a Lyft line now for $5. What do you say to people who say, if it were free, I would take it so much more? I would take advantage of the MBTA so much more.
I'm not sure there are that many people that's the choice. Because if somebody is, and again, I think we're on the same page when this, we're talking about a couple different groups of people, but a lot of times the people doing that $5 Uber pool or Uber Lyft are a software engineer or an attorney downtown. So they have the means to, like, the $2 or the $5 is not necessarily the decision for them. It's the service. It's whether it gets them there in a reliable amount of time. It's whether they're going to be on a bus where it's too crowded for them to get on, or they're squished in. So I'm not sure that there are even that many people within Boston where that free is going to move the needle. It's more about the service and the ability to the sort of quality of the ride.
Okay, I want to bring in someone who has experience with this. Bill Pfeiffer is a community outreach coordinator for the Mountain Line Public Transit System in Missoula, Montana, where fares have been free for the past few years. Hi, Bill.
Hello, how's it going?
Well, thank you. So how does it work there in Missoula? Who covers the cost?
Sure. So, I mean, obviously, we're a much smaller community. You know, we're a small urban system. That's how we're classified by the FTA. But the way our partnership works is it's a public-private partnership. About 4 years ago, a number of local community leaders got together with the goal of, you know, removing barriers to riding public transit. And a number of the contributors to this were people who purchased fare cards in the past for either their students, their employees, their constituents. You know, at the time, fares made up about 9% of our operational budget. So, you know, not quite to where you all are at there. But, you know, we were able to raise that from 13 different community partners, including, you know, some public agencies, some nonprofits, and a few of our larger employers like the University of Montana and St. Patrick's Hospital and Community Medical Center, two of our larger employers.
Okay, Bill, if I may, you know, there is a difference. Missoula Metro Region has a population of a little over 100,000 people, 117,000 residents. Yep. Boston Metro population is approaching 4 million people. So we're talking about, you know, a lot more riders.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, what do you think when you hear this argument on a much larger scale? Would this model work in a bigger city? We also have trains, not just buses.
Yep, this is true. You know, and I certainly think there are some differences that may make it a more difficult thing to achieve. But, you know, really what we set out to do here was substantially increase transit ridership. And we predicted at the time that we would see about a 40% increase over the first 3 years. We started it just as a demonstration project, and it's now become, you know, a semi-permanent program. But, you know, we actually ended up seeing a 70% increase in bus ridership in a little over 3 years.
Wow, 70%
which is
increase.
Really just remarkable. So, you know, I would say, you know, when I hear folks say, oh, I think it might be value, or people might not care as much about the transit system, that's certainly not the case here in Missoula. You know, people love it for the most part. You know, they're really supportive of it. And, you know, we still have people making the same complaints that you hear at any transit agency. You know, oh, this was late. I wish that was here. You know, wish we had these facilities here. We haven't really seen that. People have actually taken greater ownership, I think, of our transit system.
Okay,
since
Bill,
we made a change.
Got it. Thank you so much for joining us. That's Bill Pfeiffer, the Community Outreach Coordinator for the Mountain Line Public Transit System in Missoula, Montana. Let's go to Jake back here from Melrose. Jake, you're on the line. What's your question?
Yeah, just quickly, because I know we're up against the clock here. I mean, there's a lot of false equivalencies flying around, but in general, you know, we have to stop using the word free. You're just losing support of people who may otherwise be proponents of these types of programs. That's already been touched upon. But to the point of subsidizing passes, many corporations in the Boston-Cambridge area already do that on a monthly basis for the employees. They either subsidize parking or they'll subsidize the T. So to make it look as though corporations aren't contributing their fair share isn't quite accurate. And the bigger problem is that, you know, a lot of this is talking about solving the symptom, not really the problem. If we were to control the old overdevelopment without really planning for infrastructure improvements, we wouldn't have these issues right now. We see all these people coming in, building condos, businesses coming in, and these are all based upon approvals of the city council for building permits, things like that. You know, we're behind the game by trying to address public transportation when the real problem happens well before that.
Councillor Wu, I'll let you answer Jake from Melrose, saying, you know, it's not true that there's no subsidy for public transit. And not just corporations do that, but also, for example, Boston University, large nonprofit organizations. How do you respond to his comment?
So I think he makes a very excellent point that as we're talking about how to secure a foundation for our economy and our sort of the livability of our planet in the future, that it's not just about thinking about transportation and reducing emissions. It really, land use is a key part of that. Are we making sure that the jobs are distributed in a way such that people ideally are reducing their commute time? The you know, the perfect world is not for the commute to be free, but it's still to be a very long commute. The perfect world is everybody has access and they're able to get to it quickly, locally, and land use is at the heart of that. I do think that it is a false, you know, speaking of false equivalencies, for riders and for residents to be told that we must choose between service or affordability is not true. all of the plans that the governor has laid out and that are being discussed for regional rail and expanding transit across the Commonwealth, because yes, it should not be just Boston. All of these plans already imply that we need to find new funding sources and we'll need to be investing in electrification, in expansion of service, in bringing the frequencies up to what they need to be. We're talking about getting closer to affordability along with that.
Okay. I want to take one more call before we go. Ben from Framingham. Ben, what's your comment or your question? You're on the line.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'll keep it brief. I wanted to just say that I emphatically agree with the counselor. I agree that public transportation, the T, isn't just a public good. I think what we've shown, we've learned from the research, is that transitioning away from fossil fuels is a dire necessity in order to guarantee the next few generations a decent life at all. And I'd like to see a statewide conversation for those calling from farther away from the city about expanding commuter rails, expanding public buses, because this is what it's going to take. I don't think it's a luxury or just a public good. It is something we need in order to guarantee a meaningful life for my generation,
okay,
for my kids' generation.
Thank you very much, Ben.
I just wanted to say that, and I thank you very much.
Thank you. And we do want to say that we received a comment from the MBTA. Quote, delivering consistently reliable services requires a constant and reliable revenue stream. Fair revenue is helping to fund $8 billion in MBTA capital improvements over 5 years, more than 400 new subway cars, an extension of the Green Line, improved bus service, and major upgrades to signal and power systems are just some of the projects that are being made possible due to fair revenue. Joining me for this segment was Michelle Wu, Boston City Councilor at Large, and Carolyn Ryan, Senior Vice President of the Policy and Research at Greater Boston Chamber of Commerce. This is Radio Boston. We'll be right back.